You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Monday to you. It's Monday, January the 14th. I have three topics to talk about today. But before that, you know, if you guys are new listeners, I want to introduce myself, let you know that I'm Keith Pompey. You know, as you know, I'm the host of the Locked On Sixers podcast. In addition to that, I'm a beat writer for the 76ers. I cover the Sixers for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Philly Daily News, and Philly.com. So make sure that you, you check out the stuff. I mean, I'll keep you abreast. Also, this is the only podcast that covers the Sixers that comes out 5 days a week. So if you don't get tired of hearing my voice, make sure you listen in because I will give you the scoop. But talking about the scoop, I want to talk about the 76ers. You know, the 76ers defeated the New York Knicks yesterday. I want to dissect that game. They defeated them 108-105. I think it was an ugly victory. And I'll talk to you guys about that late in the first segment. In the second segment, I want to break down this workout. Right now, the Sixers just today are going to work out Jody Meeks. They're going to work out Brandon Rush. And they're going to work out Corey Brewer and a guy in the G League, a guy who went to Pitt. We talk about him. You know, I think he's a good guy. Artiste. So we're going to talk about that in the second segment. In the third segment, I want to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, tomorrow's game is going to be a homecoming for Robert Covington, Jared Bayless, Dario Saric. Cov is not expected to play. He has a knee injury. But, you know, I want to talk about those three things. But let's get to it. The first segment. The Sixers, finally, I shouldn't say finally, because the Sixers have been beating up a bunch of bad teams early in the season. But they had a two-game losing streak heading into this game. And those two losses were to the Atlanta Hawks, not a good team, or to the Washington Wizards, another bad team. You know, they were their two losses. And they played the Knicks yesterday. And like I said, they won 108-105. And the 76ers finally got back to winning an expected breather game. I mean, that's what it was. You know, the Sixers, you know, starting on January the 17th, which is, you know, 3 days from now, you know, the 76ers are going to start playing elite teams. They have a stretch against 12 teams. 11 of those teams have winning records. I'm talking about, you know, like most of them have 6 games above 500. Most of them are 6 games above 500, right? So the Knicks, the Wizards, the Hawks were supposed to be confidence boost games. Like, let's work on our defense. Let's do this. Let's get these tune-ups. Well, they lost two of them. Now, I'll take that back. Before they played, they played Washington at home. They won that game. Then they go on the road and lose to Washington, get drilled by Washington. And then they lose at home to Atlanta Hawks squad who were without two starters. Now, I might add that Washington was also without two starters, right? So they go to New York. New York is down a man, and the Sixers squeak out of the win 108-105. Now, if you want to know how bad the Knicks are, the Knicks basically lost their fourth straight game. This setback was their fourth straight loss and their 12th setback in 13 games. Yeah. I mean, the Knicks are horrible, right? It was their 12th setback in 13 games. Now, the 76ers had to have a superhuman effort, basically, from Ben Simmons. I mean, the point guard, and I'm going to call him point guard slash power forward because he's the starting point guard and he's the backup power forward. And I'll be honest with you, I'm liking what I'm seeing from him as the backup four. When he's paired with TJ McConnell, I mean, I like what I see. Now, again, I know he is a point guard, but I think that when they want to go to their bench and you have to bring in, like, you know, you're taking Embiid and Wilson Chandler out and you need to bring McConnell in, Ben Simmons looks good sliding to that four, y'all. I mean, he really does. He looks good. He looks good. He probably doesn't want to hear that, but he looks good. So Ben Simmons had to have a career high 22 rebounds to go with 20 points. You know, he made 10 of 13 shots and had 9 assists, right? His 22-20 made Simmons the youngest Sixer to accomplish the, you know, the feat in team history, right? So he became the youngest guy to do that, right? But it's like when you say to yourself, like, dang, he had to do that for them to beat the Knicks? The Knicks? And then, you know, you see where Joel Embiid, he had 26 points. He had 8 rebounds. He had 6 blocks, a season high 6 blocks, right? J.J. Redick had 22 points. He made 3 of 8 threes. And then Jimmy Butler had 16 and 8. So the problem that I really had with the Sixers in this game in particular was that they couldn't put this team away. I mean, there was one point in the first quarter where the Sixers were up 19. The next thing you know, the Knicks came back. Then all of a sudden, you see the Sixers go up 24. Then all of a sudden, the Knicks come back. It got to a point where the Knicks pulled within 1 point at the end of the third quarter. And then even still, then all of a sudden they got closer and closer. They kept getting closer. And then the Sixers had, like, late in the game, they had 2 8-point leads. And then all of a sudden they had to get a shot just to win. I mean, it's, you know, and to be honest with you, the Knicks could have tied the game, but they missed a shot at the end. So, you know, when you look at this, you're saying to yourself about the 76ers, like, yo, y'all have a lot of work to do. I mean, these three games should have been easy ones. But one guy, the point guard, had to have basically a career night to beat the Knicks. Now, I know the game is in the Garden. I know that's a venue. I know it's a 1 p.m. It was a 1 p.m. game. But you got to be better than that. You have to. I mean, you know, especially when you're talking about in a couple weeks, you know, you're going to go on the road to Denver, to L.A. to play the Lakers, to play the Golden State Warriors, play Sacramento. On Thursday, you got to go to Indiana. You know, nah, you got to do better than that. I mean, you can't squeak out wins against a New York Knicks team that's struggling. I mean, you just can't. And in regard to having opposing players, having, you know, top games, great games against them, career games against them, I mean, look at Kevin Knox. Kevin Knox, you know, the wing, the guy who some people wanted the Sixers to draft, the rookie out of Kentucky, he had 31 points. You know, he had 31 points. He became the 6th youngest player in NBA history to post 30 points, right? So, you know, he's 19 years old. He was 19, like, 155 days, if you want to, you know, be precise. You know, the only other players to do it younger than him was LeBron James – You know, LeBron James was 18, Kevin Durant 19, Jaren Jackson Jr. 19, 76 days, Devin Booker 19, 81 days, Kobe Bryant 19, 113. And the thing about Kevin Knox, and you know, you want to get a guy credit, like, yo, my man, you had 31 points, great game. But then you look around and you like, dude, it seems like anyone who can breathe can score in the perimeter is dropping 31 points on the Sixers. I mean, or 30, 29. You know, so it right now it's kind of like, it's like, whoa, I'm playing the Sixers. They don't have any perimeter defenders. I'm going to get off. And that's what happens. Other teams have great games against the Sixers. You know, it's just what it is right now. It's hard for them to change that. But I tell you what, if they don't hurry up and correct that, things are going to get ugly. And I'll be right back. Yep. So, like I said, you know, things could get ugly. That's why the 76ers are bringing in Jody Meeks, Brandon Rush, Corey Brewer, and Jahid Ortiz. Man, I'm always butchering my man's name. And it's funny, like, Jamil, I said Jahid. Damn. Jamil, sorry about that, bro. Like, here's the thing, y'all. The guy goes to Pitt. I kept calling him J.A. while he was at Pitt. Like, yeah, man, I like that dude, J.A. Because I always like, is it Jamil? Is it Jamel? Which one is it? Well, anyway, so it's going to be a foursome today. And they're going to work out. You know, right now it's funny because, like, you have a guy like Jody Meeks who will come in and provide scoring that the 76ers need. I mean, he'll just come in and do it. I mean, he's a career 37% three-point shooter. So he'll help him out. He's also a great locker room guy. You know, and he's, you know, people in Philly really like him. A great locker room guy, hard worker. So I think he can come in here and he could help the team out. Now, in regards to their perimeter defense, will he help them? No, I think you would still have to bring in someone else for that, right? So then you have a guy like Corey Brewer. Long. I mean, he's long. 6'10 wing, 6'9, 6'10. Oh, he's going to help with that defense. I mean, he really is. He's going to help the team out. He's going to be the guy that Brett Brown can depend on coming off the bench. But he's not, you know, when you come down to shooting, you know, you look at Jody and you're saying, well, Jody has the edge. But this guy will help him in one of their weaknesses. Now, Brandon Rush, good guy. You know, he hasn't been, I think he last played in the league 2016, 2017 for the Minnesota, you know, Timberwolves. A solid three-point shooter. He can shoot, you know. And then you got Ortiz. You know, Ortiz is a guy who last season, he was a two-way player for the Orlando Magic after going undrafted out of Pitt. You know, he's a guy that can be kind of like a Robert Covington type for you, like a guy who can develop his three, you know, work on it. But he's long too, you know. He's strong. He could be a blue collar type of guy for the Sixers. You know, he can, and he could help him out. Now, the thing is, we all know the Sixers have available roster spot. We all know that, you know, they're looking for talent. And let's just say if they get, you know, Ortiz, you know, he could be a guy who can come in right now and probably be on a 10-day contract. They can, you know, look at him, monitor him. And then when time comes for the trade deadline, you know, they could possibly, like, decide what they want to do with him, or they could possibly move someone. I mean, they have a couple guys, like, let's say Amir Johnson. Like, let's say, like, you know, they could give Ortiz Amir Johnson spot, you know, buy him out and or trade him, and then bring in another big. Like, have a big who can be the backup center. You know, and also, you know, we don't know when Justin Patton's coming in, but they're going to have to make some decisions before he comes back. I mean, because he's not going to practice until February. The trade deadline is February 7th. So they do need some additional help. Now, again, I said that Ben Simmons looks good as a backup power forward. Looks good. You know, he looks good. But again, that's a lot of minutes he's going to have to log. That's a lot. And you would ideally like to have someone else, you know, who can just specialize in that position. So, you know, if I'm a Sixers fan, I'm at least excited that the Sixers are bringing these guys in for workouts. Now, I know that, you know, three of them are out of the league right now, but at the same time, you know, all of them can help the Sixers in some way. And Rush, you know, some people may say, come on, man, he's been out of the league. But this is at least his second workout with the team. So that's telling me he did something to impress them. And, you know, they're bringing him back in. You know, I know the guy, you know, is a guy who knows his role on the team, a guy who can make shots. But then you have Jody Meeks, you know, a guy who, you know will provide some leadership for a locker room that kind of has some differences. You know, guys aren't really, you know, you like to be more of a cohesive group. And he can bury shots. You know, right now, you know, you have Landry Shamet, you have Furkan Korkmaz as the best two, you know, shooters off the bench. But here's the thing, like Landry Shamet, a rookie, you know, he has 8 3-pointers one night against Washington, right? A career-high 29 points. And then all of a sudden, when they start guarding him, he only made 1 3. No, he missed a three. You know, so he was 0-for-1. So I think he was 1-for-4. But you get my gist. It's one of those things where, you know, when it's tough, it's easy to make a shot when you open. When they're playing like Bobo defense against you, but then when it gets tough, can you make the shot when they're guarding you? Can you get a shot when they're guarding you? How do you create shots? And you know, these are certain things that Jody Meeks, as a veteran, you know, can do, you know, for the Sixers. Hey, I just want to talk to you guys a little bit about, you know, this podcast and you know, about advertising here. You know, as you know, we can set up a place on this podcast for you to have sponsorship, right? You know, if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On 76ers is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me at kpompey, that's kpompey, at phillynews.com to find out. I'll be right back. You know what? The Sixers are going to have a pretty good, let's just say it's going to be extremely exciting, Tuesday's game. I mean, there's some storylines. A lot of people are going to talk about, is Jimmy Butler going up against the Minnesota Timberwolves, the team that Jimmy Butler wanted out of, the team where he had a practice and he's just start going at coaches, front office personnel, former teammates. You know, everyone's going to talk about how he forced his way out of Minnesota. They're going to talk about the relationships that he had with Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. But it's also the return of Robert Covington, Dario Saric, and Jared Bayless. Now, you know, Brett Brown said he's excited about this game because of those players. Now, you know, Bayless, you know, wasn't here long. This was only his third year. I mean, he got, well, they all got traded in November the 12th. And for Bayless, you know, that was in his into his third year. You can say the same about Dario. But Dario was drafted. Well, he was acquired during the 2014 draft and by the Sixers. And he was drafted by the Orlando Magic and traded to the Sixers. And the Sixers had a relationship with him since that time. I mean, they even went over to Spain. It was Brett Brown, Joel Embiid, Nerlens Noel, Michael Carter Williams, and Sam Hinkie. They went over there to show him support. And they kept communications with him. Sometimes they would go over there periodically to overseas and check up on a big fella. So Dario basically, you know, came over here, told the Sixers that, you know, he was going to opt out after two seasons. And he did, and he started. So he left a lot of money on the table. That's another story. We could talk about that tomorrow. But, you know, it's just a bond he felt like he had with the Sixers and vice versa. Now, I think they traded him because they didn't want to pay him. There's something else we'll talk about tomorrow. But they had a bond. And then you talk about Cove. You know, Brett Brown yesterday was talking about we found him. Yeah, kind of. They didn't really find him. Like, he played for the Houston Rockets. You know, he was undrafted. And he played for the Houston Rockets. And then, I believe in 2014, you know, they basically, they picked him up, I mean, you know, as a free agent. He was cut by the Rockets. They picked him up in November. And, you know, at the time, he was just known for shooting threes, you know, just getting up and down the floor and just chucking. Well, he became a 3-and-D player for the Sixers, and they gave him $62 million, right? So, but they really wanted to get Jimmy Butler. You know, he's the best player, all-defensive player, first-teamer. So they had to include him in the package. You know, Bayless is a guy who, to be honest with you, I feel like he never got a chance to show what he could really do here because he's a point guard. He's a scoring point guard. They wanted him to be an off-the-ball type of guy, shooting threes in the corner, and that's really not his game. And but all three of these guys are coming back. Cove won't play, probably won't play, but the other two should get some minutes. Bayless is just getting back in the groove, so he probably won't play a lot if he does play. But, you know, I'm excited to see these three guys. I'm excited to talk to him. If you haven't done it yet, go to philly.com. Sarah Tide wrote some pretty good stories about Covington. So it should be an exciting time for all. But I want to thank you guys for listening and have a great day.